No. Other than that, I greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Reformation Sunday, and we always take the Reformation Sunday as being such a great, powerful Sunday, and it is. But let's not romanticize it. It was not just always a beautiful, wonderful Sunday where we really celebrate our independence. It really represents, if we could say, where one man finally stood up and said, "Why are we doing what we're doing?" without even looking into it. And it was not an easy day for Luther. He never once wanted to separate from the Roman Catholic Church. That's not what he was seeking to do. And when we celebrate this day, as we call celebrating, let's also acknowledge that there is a great division. And it caused a lot of pain and a lot of difficulty. But sometimes in life, when you actually look into why you're doing what you're doing, it can bring division. But we pray that God would reveal to each and every one of us that by grace through faith, we all have salvation. And that is the key element here. Luther had problems with some of the things that were going on within the body. And one of the greatest problems that he had was selling of the indulgences. And they were selling of the indulgences because the church was hurting and it needed money. And these indulgences were certificates that really would forgive sins beyond what other ones would do. And he really had a struggle because one of the church fathers actually even had a poem that went along with it. He said, "Every coin in the coffer that rings, another soul from purgatory springs." And Luther, this really started to question within in his heart. And he studied. And he read. And he came to the understanding that we are justified by God's righteousness. We are justified by grace through faith. And this was a powerful moment for him. And he was not seeking to destroy anything. Nailing of the 95 Theses, as we talk about it, to the church door, sounds like a very radical move. If someone came here and started nailing nails in our door, we'd get very offended. But it was kind of more or less, if you could say it this way, the bulletin board of the day, where big notices were, because people walking through the door would see it. And all he was seeking for, not to destroy, but to sit down and have a conversation, to bring correction. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may our hearts be in the same place, that we're not seeking to destroy, but rather to sit down and have conversation, and to lean solely in God's word. So, we're moved beyond this over 100, 200, 300, whatever years you want, right? And now we are moved to the point of coming here on a Sunday and speaking about Reformation, the change. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, continuing in Jesus' name. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, before us on this day is your word. Father, we ask that you would just continually strengthen us in and through this word, that you would allow it to be a light to our path, that we would be encouraged for yet another day, another week. Father, we ask that you would allow each and every one of us to study, to learn, and to hear of your truth, that, Father, we would truly be set free. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting, Jesus' popularity was really growing, as we often talk about. And in this, he was giving a great, if we want to say it this way, sermon or speech, whatever you may want to say. And he was talking about, in reality, himself as a light. And he was coming into this world as a light. And he speaks very boldly that he came to reveal the truth. What is that? What is truth? You know, ultimately, we know that Pilate himself, when he was dealing with Jesus, he had a difficulty because Pilate even asked Jesus, what is truth? Because everything that was put on Pilate's shoulders, Pilate himself was the one to stand in front of the crowds, the mob mentality. And he was standing there and he told them three times that he finds no fault in this man. I know we're not in Easter. But the question, what is truth, is powerful. Pilate believed he knew the truth. He believed that this man was not a threat. He believed that this man did not do anything worthy of death. But yet the mob mentality overrode that. And it leaves a man to understand and come to a conclusion. What in reality is truth? You and I have a conversation. We're in my office. We sit there and we have a conversation about a certain subject. And I remember one of the things that we learned in seminary is you always have to agree on definition. If you don't agree on definition, then you can't have a conversation. That's the reality of it. If I don't agree in reality on the definition of a sunrise, meaning the sun will come up across the sky, spread across the horizon, you'll see its rays, and someone else says, no, that's not a sunrise. A sunrise to me is where the sun goes down and it disappears. How can you have a conversation about a sunrise if you both don't agree on the definition? And that's often what happens in a lot of our jargon in our day and age. The problem is not in reality that people are evil. The problem is that people have a different understanding of, really, definitions. So then you turn around now and you see Pilate asking this question because he believed what was true, that Jesus did nothing to deserve death. But the people, in their mind, rewrote, if they could say, their law to make it where he is worthy of death. Ultimately, Jesus Christ was crucified for the truth. Because he was crucified for being the Son of God. Kind of interesting how truth is, eh? So how do we go on? How do we deal with this in our lives? You know, sometimes as human beings, I think we have a tendency to think that we kind of operate in two different things, two different worlds. And Luther does touch on that too. He says we live in two eons. Two worlds. We have our spiritual life, which is very powerful, very encouraging for us, no doubt about it, to be able to understand and know what God has done for us in reality through Christ for each and every one of us. But then we also have a tendency to live in this world. So as a Christian, we know right and wrong. As a Christian, we live our lives according to that. But then there are some that have a tendency to go the other way when it comes to the worldly life. To give an example, I've heard it stated before in my lifetime that, well, we do what we do in the church, but in the world, we're dealing with unbelievers so we can do what we want. That's a bold statement. But at least to me, it's a truthful statement. They're saying we have one life out here and we have one life here. Well, as a Christian, that's not how it is. That God doesn't want part of our life. He wants our entire life because he has given everything for it. And so we turn around and we start to blur the lines of truth sometimes because this doesn't fit our motivation sometimes and we can twist it a little bit. But it always comes back to what is truth. I know we've all played this game, haven't we? Raising children, if you've raised children, and the majority of us in here have raised children. And some gizmo is missing or some gizmo is broken in the house. Who did it? You know who always does it? Not me. That is one popular guy, not me. So then what do you have to do? You have to start going through the truth. You got to start figuring out what's the truth here. And so it's interesting that when we as Christians, we have a tendency to now have these two guidelines in our life. Well, this is the world, this is the church. and we can go down that road and it becomes very dangerous and honestly quite blurry. Everything is of truth in Christ Jesus. So Jesus turns around, and after he's talking about the light, after they're turning around, if you read previously to this, they're all upset at Jesus saying, you're giving testimony of yourself, your testimony is not true. And Jesus says, actually, no, I'm not. I am giving a testimony, and you even in your law say that if two agree on something, then it is true. He says, and I and God the Father agree. We agree. He says, so therefore my testimony is true. So now, listening to this jargon, you have to understand there was some Israelites that definitely believed. They saw the miracles of Christ. They saw him doing a great work, and they act in this. They have faith. So now, let's suppose for a minute that we fast forward from centuries ago, and let's actually take this word as though God is speaking to us. So now Jesus is speaking to us. And he turns around and he says to Hancock Zion Lutheran Church, because that's who's here today and anyone that's out there on the internet. Okay, very directly. Everybody's getting up to go start getting the food ready, so please feel free to stay. There's a lot of food today. They're not mad at me. Well, maybe Faith is. But, but anyways. So Jesus turns around and he starts talking. And he's saying now to, as I said, Zion Church here today. And I'm using this more as a, trying to bring it to the reality. So he's speaking to each and every one of us that believes in him. If you abide in my word. So where's the first direction that he's going to bring us today, tomorrow, next week, when we're dealing in our business, when we're dealing in our life, when we're dealing in the church? What is the first indicator that he wants us to do? What in reality is the direction he's bringing us? If you abide in my word. This to me is a very, very powerful statement. Do you want to really be free? Do you want to be encouraged? Do you want to live in peace? Abide in my word. Doesn't mean just use it in reality as a coffee table ornament. Doesn't mean just set it there and once in a while dust her off and say, wow, that's pretty cool. I got a Bible there. I'm a Christian. I'm speaking to myself. I don't know about you. He's encouraging me, Jesse, open this thing. Read it. Partake in it. You have questions what's going on in this world because it's goofy? Read this word. Be encouraged by this word. He says, so, if you abide in my word, if you continually live in my word, he says, then you are truthfully my disciples. You are truly a follower. How often do we do this? And I think we live in a dynamic time. We really do. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm not the best reader in the world. Okay? I understand that. I know there's people that'll blow the doors off of me. But you know what I can do? I can listen. I can listen and I can absorb. And generally, I can actually, I'm bragging, so I won't say I'm not bragging. But when I'm listening to something and it hits me, I can remember where I was, almost where I was standing and who was in the room when it impacts me. We have the opportunity to be in his word all the time. And see, us pastors, we don't have it all figured out in our minds that we're so confident we don't need the word anymore. We don't need to be engaged in it. The more and more I see things going on in my life, the more and more scary it gets. When I look at my grandchildren and I start seeing what's taking place in this world, I need to receive that word. So I have that phone over there. That thing can be a blessing or a curse. And I'm telling you, when I listen to the word, it's such a blessing because it speaks to me. That word is a living word that speaks to us. And he's saying, be partakers of this word. We have the opportunity to be able to read it. We have the opportunity to listen to it. We can even get all kinds of different styles of it brought into our ears. It's a very powerful thing. He says, do you want to be a follower of me? He says, abide in my word. Don't separate from it. Because in reality, it's an encouragement for each and every one of us. He says, and if you do this, he says, you will know the truth. You will know the truth, because his word brings truth. I love how he says it in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 3. He says, "You are already made clean by the word that I speak to you." His word is like my wife likes to sing. It's like a super soap. It's a child song. And it scrubs us clean. But his word has that ability. You know, and he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How free are we? Oftentimes, we're bound by fear. Oftentimes, we're bound by our own issues in our life, whether it be sin or struggles, whatever it may be. Oftentimes, we're bound in reality by what's going on around us. Oftentimes, we're bound by financial bounds. Maybe you don't have these problems. I know I'm human. Maybe old age scares us and we're bound by that. Maybe we start listening about nuclear war and that is scary and I'm not making light of it, but we're bound by that sometimes. When we listen to too much rhetoric of this world, and I'm not saying not be involved, but when we take that in constantly and we don't balance it in reality with his word of encouragement, his word of truth, we become bound. Bound in fear. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not a fairy tale. We can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego within the fiery furnace, and we still, in reality, can be free. Too many times we think those are just little kid stories. But tell me, have you not been through fires in your life? Have you not been through struggles? Have you not been through financial woes? Have you not been through, we were talking about in Bible study today, I was asking one of the other guys, did you remember going through the nuclear things? We used to take and put a coat over our head and sit under the desk because we went through those things. I remember as a child being afraid because this is what I was taking in all the time. And I lived in fear. We don't need to be in fear. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. We are victors in him. And I'm not saying that those things aren't real, but your children are listening, your children are seeing, but do we bring them the word of encouragement? Do we receive ourselves this word of encouragement that we don't have to live in fear? That we're not in reality identified by our problems? We are victorious through our problems by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That you don't have to be bound by these ailments, by these fears, by these financial woes, by the political seasons, that you can live above these things. Oh, yeah, Pastor, that sounds like pie in the sky. Yeah, because often we hear it, we believe it on Sunday, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we forget to be encouraged by his word. We forget to take it in. But man, I never forget to shut off Fox, CNN. What the world? That thing has an off button. You'll be free. When you look at all the apostles, and they were martyrs, Scripture is very clear that they died in reality, in joy for Christ. That's not even sensible in the human understanding. But they were not bound by the fear. They were freed by the gospel. They're freed by the hope. This life is not for eternity. This earthly life is not for eternity. It's like when I called my dad and said, Dad, I got cancer. The first words out of his mouth were, well, son, none of us get out of this life alive. Not really the encouraging words you want to hear, is it? But it's truth. These are temporary fillings. All of these things. But heaven is not a consolation prize. It is a victory. And I'm not morbidly looking towards heaven saying, well, I hope I die. If I could quote anybody on earth that I wanted to quote, it would be my own stepfather, who miserably suffered with cancer all the way up to the last day. And he would climb into a vehicle, and I'd drive him around. That last week I was with him, and he could barely move. And I'd say, why do you do this? Why do you do this? You could just sit at home in a lazy boy and die. God gave him a great faith in the end. And he said, God has given me another day to live, and I'm going to live it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let anybody rob your joy. Don't let any disease, any financial, any political, any self-deprecating sin in reality. Look to Christ, who is the answer above and beyond all of those things, to give you a hope. You'll be free. But then they turn around and they start talking to Jesus in this way. Who in the world are you talking about? Do you know whose boy we are? That's really what it is. It doesn't come down to that personal relationship here. It comes down to tradition. For them, this is what it comes down to. You know whose boy we are? We're the offspring of Abraham. Yeah, we've never been in bondage. Yeah, children of Israel have never been in bondage. How is it that you say we could be free? Don't even fool yourselves. Even when these guys are speaking this, do you know who they're in bondage to? Rome. They were being beat up by every other nation so badly, they actually made a pact with Rome to be their government so that they could be protected. And you know what happened? Rome started taxing the daylights out of them, taking everything from them. And they were hoping that when they first saw the Messiah coming, that he would free them from the grips of Rome. What this brings to me, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not about whose boy we are, whose girl we are. It's not about our tradition, although they can be beautiful. It's about Christ and knowing the freedom we have in and through him. They were deceived in their own mind. You know, they're kind of like that flea, right? They say you take a flea and you put a little clear lid on there and you put them in a thing and you can train them to only jump so high. Because after they hit their head on that ceiling 100 times, you can take that thing off and they won't jump out. Or you heard the one about the frog, right? You can take frog and put it in water and you can slowly start turning the heat up and that frog will not jump out of there. It'll die. We get accustomed. Well, Jesus is saying, know the truth. Stop receiving everything that's spoon-fed to you. Open your eyes and know the truth. Freedom is through Christ Jesus and him alone. And they're sitting there, what do you mean? We're not bound. Though Rome has still got their hand in the back pocket. Jesus turns around and he answers them. He says, you guys are thinking too carnally here. You're thinking only about your heritage or your ethnic. He says, Jesus answered, he said, I'm telling you the truth. He says, everyone that is practicing sin is a slave to sin. And this is really the reality of things. This is what it comes down to. We are bound to life in Christ Jesus, or we are bound to death in the flesh. There is no other. Too many times we want to take on the world and argue and try to prove the truth of the gospel, or the truth of the word, or truth of God. I remember I was in that mindset for a long time, even at the seminary, where I wanted to prove God. And it was one of my pastors that came to me and said, disprove God. I couldn't. See, the reality of it is sometimes we take on the wrong argument. Sometimes we take on in this world and think we're going to prove things. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the truth. Live in that truth. Receive that truth. Stop taking on all these agendas and in reality live in freedom in Christ Jesus. Don't fear in reality what the world can do to you. Rather, have a reverence for the one who holds you in the palm of his hands. Have a respect for God the Father. Have a respect for Christ Jesus. And when I would say, even in our flesh, have a respect for the adversary. In other words, know where he comes from and know what he offers and understand he's trying to deceive you out of your peace. out of your freedom, out of the gift that God has given you. You're either bound to Christ in freedom, or you're bound in the flesh to sin. And really, we don't like to say it very often, but sin brings death. Christ gives life. He says, I want you to understand this. A slave does not remain in the house forever. A slave is really just a servant. There's no freedom in that. There's no life in that. He says, but the Son remains forever. And now he's speaking in a reality that in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are the children of God. And that we have eternity before us. Yeah, what's going on out there is scary. Yes, we do our part. We study, we read, we do what we got to do. But that's not eternity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, eternity is to come. And Jesus says, in me, you will remain forever. Forever. And he says, and I want you to know this. If I set you free, you are truly free. It's not like your works where all of a sudden one day you feel up and the next day you feel down. You're like on the roller coaster of faith, right? That's our works. He says, I have come to give you an imputed righteousness. What that means in reality is a righteousness that we did nothing for. It was given to us by grace through faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this message today is to encourage you that you don't have to be afraid. You know, you may think, I'm not saying you do. But some may think what took place here today was too political and we shouldn't have done it. I was encouraged that you at least received it. But at least I saw someone that was not afraid to speak and speak what he saw as the truth to preserve life. That's who we are. Jesus himself says, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. We are the children of God, set free from fear, to be able to speak the truth and live truth in a world where you can honestly ask, what is truth? Truth is Christ Jesus and him alone. Truth is Christ Jesus crucified for my debt. Truth is imputed righteousness in my behalf. Truth is the love of God. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word, and we know with clay hands and clay tongues we mess it up. But Father, we know by the Spirit that we can receive your truth, and we ask, Father, that you would allow us in this upcoming week to continue to study, to continue to learn, to continue to listen, that we would not be indoctrinated by the fears of men, but rather encouraged by the truth of your gospel and the strength of your word. We ask that you be with each and every one this week. Whatever difficulty, whatever struggle we may be going through, we ask that we would lean them over to you, that, Father, you would encourage us and strengthen us. And, Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for those that care and love. And we thank you, Father, for the peace that we have in and through your Son. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of the service, Judy said she will sing Grace with us. And so you are all encouraged to join us for dinner and have fellowship.